Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 11, and we're going to pick up at verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
You know, this interests me how he correlates the obedience to keep the commandments of the Lord to being strong. I couldn't help but notice that when we're looking at it earlier. It's so important to be obedient to God because our strength comes from the Lord. Even though God has said he's going to drive the enemy out, that's dependent upon them being the Israelites being obedient to the Lord. Well, it's the same way with us today. God empowers us, but we have to do something with the power that God gives us. You understand? It's, things aren't just automatic like people want to think they are. We want to just sit down and let God do everything. God will do his part, but we have to do our part. And it's going to take the wisdom of God and the strength of God to possess the land, if you will, that God has promised, the things that God has said in his word. You know, I look at this like they had a natural promised land that God wanted to lead them to, a land that would sustain them. The Christian has a spiritual promised land that God wants to take us into that will sustain us spiritually. But just as they had to obey God, we have to obey God, and we have to do it God's way. Now, Heather mentioned earlier, but in Isaiah 55, God said that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And just to condense it, he says, mine's superior to yours, okay? And so that requires us to trust God rather than trying to be counselors to God. God, let me give you some advice on what I think you need to do. And you understand that that's the way much of our prayers are, advising God what he needs to do rather than really putting him in remembrance of his word. Lord, your word says, and I thank you that you honor your word. And so this petition that I'm making is just for you to just show yourself strong by manifesting your word in this situation or this circumstance. It makes sense to you?
Yeah.
And so this is our strength. You follow me? The joy of the Lord is our strength. But where does joy come from? Galatians 5:22-23, fruit of the Spirit. Joy is fruit. Where's that come? It's coming out of the Spirit now, out of the inward man. And when you get that inward man built up in the Lord, obeying the Lord, and then good relationship, fellowship with the Lord, the joy of the Lord's there, and the strength is there. You follow me? All this runs together. And God wants to take them into the land. Now, here's the interesting thing about that promised land. It's called a land flowing with milk and honey, which is, it's just a way of saying everything you need is in that land. I'm taking you to a place that will supply all your needs. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So where is God trying to take us? We're trying to get things out here in the natural. God wants to take us into a depth of Jesus to where all our needs are met in Jesus. We have the recognition of it. It's not how much you have in your pocket. Do you know your resource?
Amen. Yeah.
You understand, Jesus didn't go to his pocket. When he needed to pay taxes, he sent Peter fishing to get a coin out of a fish's mouth. He knew his resource. God's wanting us to understand that our resource is in the spirit realm. And we take it out of the spirit and manifest it into the natural realm. But you have to receive it inside if you want to see it outside. You all right with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from which ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and watered it with thy foot as the garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God cared for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year.
So God's telling them, the land that I'm taking you to, or Moses is telling them, the land that God's taken you to is not like the land you came out of in Egypt. In Egypt, it was arid, dry. And so they had to irrigate. In other words, if they wanted to grow something, then they had to manually water that in order to get growth, like you would water a garden. But he said, the place that I'm taking to you is a place of rivers and streams. It's a place where it rains. You don't have to do the manual irrigation. God's watering your crops for you, so to speak. And he says that he's watching over that from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. You talk about the former rain, the latter rain, you know, the rain in the fall, the rain in the spring, that God will do that. But that's contingent upon obeying God, as you see in the next.
Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full.
And so this is contingent upon obeying the commandments of the Lord. You know, when I say the commandments of the Lord, it's just keeping the word of God, okay? And he says that you have to serve him with not half-heartedly, but with all your heart, with all your soul. In other words, you have to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you neglect duties. You do your duties, but you're keeping your mind on the Lord at all times. You know, whistle while you work, so to speak. You can think about God while you're working. You follow me? It's not just being weird and trying to act spiritual, is that you go about your daily routine with your mind on the Lord, and you whatever you do in word or deed, you do it unto the Lord, you understand? You keep that in your mind. God says, now, if you obey, you serve me with all your heart, then I'm going to see to it that the early rain, which the early rain is in the fall of the year, is getting the soil moistened and all that, and then the latter rain is in the spring of the world in the year. So your soil, it will be workable to where you can work it to plant your seed, and once your seed's planted, I'm going to give you the rain that'll make your seed grow. And so the provision's there to where they can have grain and grapes and olives and all these type things. And the fields would be producing food so they could feed the livestock and all this. And so God's provision was going to allow both the people and the animals to enjoy an abundance of food. But here again, contingent upon serving the Lord with all your heart, walking by faith, believing God, following what he says. Even though when your natural thinking doesn't understand that, that's unusual. Well, you'll find that God does unusual things. God does things in unusual ways. But he does things. And so we have to trust him, okay?
Verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
So not only is there a blessing for obeying God, there's a consequence for not obeying God. Mm-hmm. And so Moses is warning these Israelites, they've been exposed to idol worship in Egypt. They've been exposed to idol worship there in the wilderness. I mean, you think about nations that they've already defeated, engaged in battle with and all that. They were idol worshipers, okay? And so he said, don't you pursue other gods. There's one God who's called you out. The God who called you out, the God who delivered you from Egypt, you keep your attention on him. Yeah. The God who saved you from sin, you keep your attention on him. Don't be looking to another God. Don't be looking at what somebody else is doing. You follow the God who's delivered you. And he says, if you don't, then the anger of the Lord is going to be kindled. And where he was going to give you rain, he'll withhold the rain. Mm-hmm. Where he was going to bless you with all these crops, giving you this land, he said, I gave it to you, I'll remove you from it. If you follow the same pattern that the people who are in it now are following, worshiping other gods, you go in that land and you start worshiping other gods, I'll drive you out of the land just like I drove them out of the land. You with me? And so it's not just a one-time deal with the Lord. There is an initial accepting the Lord, but then there's a lifetime serving the Lord. You're keeping your attention on him at all times. You want the blessing of the Lord? Then be a blessing to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. I go back, if it's all right, to that 16th verse, and Pete talked about this. But take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. We also, that's good instruction for us as well. We have to guard our hearts, don't we? With all diligence to make sure that we too don't be deceived by thoughts, by instruction, whatever comes our way.
What would deceive the heart? The externals.
Yes.
You see giants, that's going to deceive you. Mm-hmm. You see fortified cities, that's going to deceive you. You see what the natural says is impossible, that's deceiving you to get you to turn away from God. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the externals. Look at the Word of God. What did God say? Stay focused on what God said, and you won't be deceived. It's amazing to me how many professing Christians today are deceived with all the things that are going on around you. You'd think that a child would have enough common sense to know that someone's lying. I mean, everything is so obvious. And yet adults are just so gullible, they fall in hook, line, and sinker. I mean, the religion has destroyed many people. I just read this week where one denomination is going to kick out any pastors that believe the Bible is the Word of God. My mind has a hard time even comprehending that. Then what are you doing? You're just into a false worship. You're into an idol worship. If the Word of God is not controlling your life, if that's not what you're talking about, do us all a favor and just shut up and don't call yourself a minister. You're not a minister of God. You're an adversary. You're an emissary of the devil. I don't care what title you put on yourself. Now, there's too many people standing behind podiums that are agents for the devil. Mm-hmm. They're not servants of the Lord. We have to keep our mind on God all the time. Don't look at the natural. Don't ask yourself what the people think. Mm-hmm. You get before God, you get what God says, and you give the people what God says, whether the people like it or not. People are fickle. They don't know what they want. They know what they long for. God knows what they need. Give them what they need. You understand? Just like a child. I mean, you're gonna feed a 2-year-old what he wants? All he's gonna do is eat sweets. You understand? And that's the way it is with in the spirit side, with the Christian world. We need things that will cause us to grow spiritually. But in this day and age, you're hearing so much about the seeker-friendly church. What is that? We're going to set an atmosphere here that's inviting to whomever to get our numbers up. If we can get our numbers up, we get our finances up. We don't care if you go to hell or not.
No.
Is that too strong for you? I'm going to tell you, it irritates me. We're not looking for a seeker-friendly church. We're looking for a God-seeking church. Who has a mind for the Lord? Who wants to grow in God? Do you understand? That's what we need to understand. And then God will send the people to you who want to grow. And if they don't want to grow, they won't stay long. You know, if you can't stand the heat, you get out of the fire, right? But God is doing all this for our best interest. That's the amazing thing about it. That's how much He loves you, to give you what you need, so what you want doesn't destroy you. And people will self-destruct if they're left to themselves.
Verse 18. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
You think Moses is trying to drive a point home?
Yes.
How important the Word of God is. Put it around your head.
Yes.
Put it on your hand. Write it on the doorpost, the gates. No, you get that Word of God. Not only that, when you're sitting in your house, talk about the Word of God. When you're walking along the way, talk about the Word of God. At bedtime, talk about the Word of God. When you get up, talk about the Word of God. Keep the Word of God before you all the time, and you won't be deceived, and you won't be tempted to go in a wrong direction. And so he's really emphasizing this. Then if you do that, he said, your lives will be prolonged. You're going to multiply in the land that God swore to give to your forefathers. But obeying God's commandments was vital. He said, if you'll do this, it'll be like days of heaven on earth. God's kingdom's ruling. Think about it. You see, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. Luke 17:21 says the kingdom of God is in you. People are looking for an external kingdom. No, God wants to rule your heart. And when God's ruling your heart, it's like heaven ruling. You'll be doing things on earth like things are being done in heaven. Isn't that the prayer that Jesus said to pray?
Yes.
That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's contingent upon my heart being toward the Lord, my meditating on the Word of God, not only observing it and talking about it, but putting it into practice. And when you do that, God's kingdom is established in your heart, and God's kingdom is established in your life. Wherever you go, you're taking God. God's being seen. And see, that's what God wants out of us, our lives. We're witnesses. We think we've confused being a witness with witnessing. And God's wanting us to be your character, your lifestyle, how you interact, what you think about is going to determine what you do, you understand? That's what I want. I want you to be. And then people are going to take note. You've been with Jesus. What's different about you? You're not like everybody else. And God's called us to be distinctly different. Really, that's what holy means. He wants a holy people. He wants people so distinctly different that you take notice of it. And we're not talking about how long your hair is, how long your dress is, or whatever. We're talking about your inside that radiates to the outside. And people will know you have a different spirit. Something different about you. That gives you the opportunity, now because you are a witness, you can witness. You see? Okay.
Verse 22. Sorry, I lost my spot. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you.
Now that's a pretty good promise, isn't it?
Yes.
But you have to keep the commandments. If you do this, you love the Lord your God, you walk in the ways of God, you hold fast to God, and you watch what the Lord does. The Lord will drive out all these nations occupying the land. Now here's the interesting thing. These nations are stronger than you.
Yeah.
They're mightier than you. They have greater armies than you have. But I'll give you all of this land. No one will be able to stand before you. You'll defeat them. Because the Lord will put the dread and fear of them in all this land where you travel, just as he promised. You see this a reality. When Joshua crosses the Jordan and they come up against Jericho, Joshua sends the two spies in and they stay there at Rahab the harlot. And what does Rahab say? Our hearts melted when we heard of you. All the land is afraid of you. We've heard what your God has done in parting the Red Sea, in parting the Jordan River. We've heard about your God and our hearts. In other words, we are afraid of you. You understand? And this is what Moses is telling them that would happen. And in Joshua's day, it became a reality because this generation didn't do what the former generation army did. This one went in and obeyed God, and one conquest after another conquest, taking fortified cities, killing giants, people stronger than them, mightier armies than them, but God gave them strategies to defeat. It's the same way with the Christian. God would give you spiritual strategies to where the devil does not dominate your life. And he'll dominate through the flesh. So God's saying, walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, Satan can't dominate you. He can't control you. If you're under the influence of the devil, it's because you're walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. There's such a parallel here between Israel and the church today. Such a parallel. And we need to glean from these principles. Keep your mind on God. Do things God's way and watch what God does.
Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known.
Now, notice this. Moses has said, all right, I'm setting before you basically life and death, right? There's a blessing, there's a curse. Here's the blessing. It's not asking God to bless you. The blessing is obeying God. When we get to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you're going to see that. The blessing will seek you. You don't seek the blessing. But if you don't obey God and keep the word of God, then just by default, you're going to incur the curse. There's a blessing out here. There's a curse out here. The blessing is following the word of God. The curse is not following the word of God. And people are so concerned about curses today and all that. Obey the word of God. Devil can't curse what God's blessed. And you walk in the blessing of God and you'll never have to concern yourself about the curse. You with me? And this is basically what Moses is telling the nation of Israel. If you don't obey God, then you're going to see the curse. But if you do, you can live happily ever after, right? Okay.
Verse 29, and it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side, Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of Canaanites, which dwell in the champion over against Gilead, beside the plains of Moreh?
Now, let me get things in perspective in case you are confused about the other side.
Okay.
From Egypt and Jordan, that's on the east side of Jordan. So they're coming out of Egypt. They're on the east side of Jordan. The promised land is on the west side of Jordan. So they have to cross the Jordan River to get into the promised land. However, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh chose to stay on the east side of Jordan and possess the land where they defeated Sihon and Og. Okay? And so they took that land. But the Canaan land, the promised land that God had told them, that was on the west side of Jordan. You've heard West Bank and news and all that. That's Israel's land that God had given them. Now, he said, when you cross the Jordan, there's two mountains here that you need to concern yourself with. Gerizim, I want six of the tribes to go on Mount Gerizim. And I want you to speak the blessing and release those words over the land. The other six tribes, you go on Mount Ebal and you speak the curse over the land. And so the words are released. You understand?
Yes.
You understand that words never die. The words are out there. And so the blessing's out there, the curse is out there. Which one are you going to walk in? You do what the blessing says and you walk in the blessing. If you don't do what the blessing says, you incur the curse. It's that simple, isn't it? Well, the Word of God is here. The Word of God goes forth. Will we walk in the Word of God? Will we walk according to the Word of God, or will we walk contrary to the Word of God? If we walk according to the Word of God, we're in the blessing. But if we don't walk according to the Word of God, we're walking in the curse, so no need to pray for the blessing. The blessing's in obedience. And so if you want the blessing, obey. There's more to it than a confession. You understand? There's a lot of that that goes on, but I'm telling you, the blessing's in the Word. That's what he's saying here. The blessing's in the Word. That's an incentive to follow the Word of God, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Verse And we know who the Word of God is, right? Put that one out there. Verse 31.
For those who don't, it's Jesus.
Sorry.
The Word made flesh.
Stop short.
We're not going to assume anything, okay? All right.
For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day.
I want you to pay attention to how much emphasis in this one chapter has been put on keeping the Word of God.
Right.
If you will, you're going to possess the land the Lord's given you. You be careful. You watch yourself. You guard your heart with all diligence that you observe all these statutes and judgments Moses said that I've set before you. What's he set before them? He set before them the Word of God. He's telling them what God told Moses to tell them. It's not Moses' message, it's God's message Moses is delivering. You with me? And if you'll do this, you'll possess the land. Everything will be, it's going to go well for you. But you have to do it God's way. So you be cautious to observe the Word of God. Be cautious. Think about what you do before you do it. Is this in agreement with God? And if it's not, then leave it alone.
We have talked before and said on many occasions in our study of Deuteronomy was the expectation of God for the Israelites was to walk by faith, just like it is for us.
It's no different. We talk about the law and works, and the law was works, but it was the law was never intended to be a works thing. It was to be a faith-based thing. You do the works because of your trust in God. You're not doing the works to try to get the favor of God. And so even the law was faith. And so in the Old Covenant, they were to walk by faith. As a matter of fact, when you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, faith chapter, by faith, Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Sarah. All these things, by faith. And so it was always meant to be by faith. What is that? You just trust God. Father knows best. And so you do what Father says. You with me? I interrupted you, but
no,
go ahead.
I appreciate that. And I was thinking about how these Israelites, those who had a heart determined to follow God, they'd get that word on the inside of them. And that word comes alive. It has to come alive on the inside before it'll manifest on the outside. The very same thing is true for us today. So you think about God saying, now you're going to go in and you're going to possess this land. Fortified cities, giants, you're going to possess it. You're going to take this promised land that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to be there with you. I'll even go ahead of you. It's for your taking. That had to come alive on the inside of them. Yes, we will have the victory. We will conquer. We will take this land. We will live in this promised land before it ever could manifest on the outside. Well, the same is true for us today. We have promises in this Word of God. We have a promise of healing. But you know, our healing has to come on the inside before it's ever manifested in the outside. Do you see the parallel with that?
You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Actually, the Greek says now, faith comes by hearing God speak. All right, let's go back to those 12 spies. They go in, they're looking at the land, right?
Okay.
Joshua and Caleb are hearing God speak.
Mm-hmm.
their minds on the Word of God. God has spoken His Word. The other 10 aren't hearing God, they're hearing circumstances.
Yes.
And this is the same thing, it's a principle, the same thing holds true today. People do not hear God, they hear the circumstances and they move away from God, and their prayers are panic prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So they're crying out in a panic rather than with a confidence. Lord, You've declared this. You're not a man that You can lie. And I thank You. I don't know how it's going to happen, and I'll be fair with You. It doesn't look real good, but I know You can't lie. And so where I lack in wisdom, I'm asking for wisdom that I do what I'm supposed to do and You do what I can't do.
Amen.
Cooperative fellowship with the Lord, okay?
Yes.
But faith comes when you hear God speak. How are you going to hear God speak? It's God's going to speak through His Word. We're not talking about, hey. You know, you don't look for God in an audible voice. God's Word is His voice. Not that He can't speak in other ways. God can prompt you. God can drop things in your spirit. But I can tell you that that Word is a Word of God.
Amen.
Men were inspired by God. God breathed this. It didn't come out of man's intellect. It came out of God. And my time's up. Time flies when you're having fun, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Hope you got something out of this. I think we got through that chapter. Thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us. And You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered and those who hate You be before You. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly, hasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, have a great weekend and keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Amen. Just let the Lord manifest Himself through you.